going to talk tonight a little bit about thankfulness, and before that, I want to give a report on Spain. First of all, I want to report to you that right now it is 2 a.m. in Spain, and so my body is 2 a.m. still a little bit. So if I fall asleep, John, just come up and finish it. I have the notes right here. So I want to show you a few pictures before I get into what I'm going to preach tonight, and the first picture is the group that went. We had 9 altogether that went to Spain. And in the middle right there, you see the missionary. That's a Southern Baptist International Mission Board missionary right above him and his wife. And they have 4 children. And they are there with 2 other couples. That is the work that is being done by the Southern Baptist there in Seville, Spain. And that was just the time that we had after church. We went and we ate together and just fellowshiped together in that last time. The next picture, what you're seeing, is one of what we did while we were there was a ladies' event. I did English chat somewhere at a high school. They did the ladies' event. But they had the ladies at this home, and they did pedicures, and they did bookmarks, and they did a photo booth. And the whole purpose of this was to share the gospel. And then Jennifer Ford, who is the missionary's wife, got up and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to these ladies that were there. They said it was one of the most wonderful times of spirit moving within those ladies there. You got to understand Spain. See, America, we call ourselves a first world country. When we went to El Salvador, and if you go to Honduras or if you go someplace like that, many people call that a third world country. Well, Spain is a first world country, very affluent. And yet Spain, if you understand the history of Spain, from 1939 to 1975, they were under Francisco Franco, who was a dictator, and he had the Roman Catholicism was the state religion at that time. And so if you were evangelical, which is what we are, evangelicals, you were discriminated against. He also discriminated against many of the Jews, many of the Muslims that were there from 1939 to 1975 until he died. So you have to understand the state of Spain for all those years. That was kind of how they were ruled. Well, in 1978, Spain, for the first time after he died, Spain said, we're going to give religious freedom to everyone. And so if you really look at that, you see that to be an evangelical there, to be a Christian there in the way of believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and living as a Christian that way as an evangelical is very, very young, not even 40 years old there at this time. So even though Spain's been around for a long time, spiritually, in the way of witnessing and everything like that, people are still searching. And so these people are very, very sensitive to how you share the gospel with them. A lot of atheists, a lot of agnostics. I know that Connie Elliott and I were in an English chat. Now, what an English chat is Spain is very interested in speaking English because they know to succeed in the world today, you have to speak English. So we got groups together and we sat together and just started talking about things in English. And the rule was you had to speak in English. So I talked to this one lady, and Connie and I was there. She asked what I did, and I said, well, I'm a minister, a pastor at a church. And she says, oh, well, and I said, well, what I do is I talk about Jesus Christ, and I share a little bit about Jesus. And so I said, well, do you follow Jesus? And she said, no. And I said, well, so I said, are you an atheist? Are you an agnostic? And she says, well, I've never really heard those words. So I wrote down the words, and I wrote down atheist and said, A means, no God. And then agnostic is that you know that there's a God, but you really don't follow that. And she says, no. She says, I'm very spiritual. She says, I do meditation and yoga. And she says, I've been raised in the church all my life, and I feel more spiritual doing that than I've ever had in the church. So that's the state that it is in the way of Spain. Very young in the way of sharing the gospel, telling people about Jesus Christ. And yet, they do not need, if you push too hard in Spain, then what happens is they believe that you're a cult. And so that you have to be very, very sensitive to the needs of the people there in Spain. This next picture we had was what they do there, the missionaries do, is they have a Thanksgiving feast. So we actually spent all day cooking turkeys and all the stuff we eat at Thanksgiving here in America. They want to know about America Thanksgiving. And so we cooked all that, and we fed them all, and then the missionaries got up and shared about Thanksgiving, but then a missionary got up and shared about Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it was just a very, very good thing to do that. The church that we went to on Sunday morning is a church that had about 30 people. They met with another church that morning, but they had about 30 people, and it took 6 years just to establish that church of 30 people. If you have a church of 100 people in Spain, an evangelical church, you're considered a mega church. And so that's kind of where it is. So what the missionaries plan and what they're doing is now they have moved to another part of Seville, and they have rented apartments, and so they're starting a Bible study in their home. We got to share the very first worship service that they had, and their goal is to establish a church in that community. And then what they'll do, they'll pick up again, they'll move somewhere else in Seville, and they'll start all over again. So we want you to pray for the spiritual needs of Seville. I really felt in my heart the spiritual lostness there when we were talking to the people, especially the people in the English chats. When you talk to them about Jesus Christ, they listen, but they really do not want to engage in that kind of talk at this time. And so it's just through relationships that these missionaries are having with these people that you do that. And so I just ask that you pray for Spain. I appreciate and I'm thankful that our church, that we have the opportunity to be able to go to Spain and to be able to share, just like we went to Buenos Aires and just like we went to El Salvador. And I just think it's very, very important that as a church, we reach out beyond these walls. And we'll be talking about that in just a minute in my sermon. But it's very, very important that we go beyond the walls. And I just want you to pray now if there's ever an opportunity for you to go on a mission trip. I know some people can't, and that's fine, but there's a lot of mission fields outside these walls here in Pasadena, but I don't want to get too much into my sermon. But I just want to go to God now and pray for Spain and thank God for this church and thank God for the opportunity that we had to go. So, Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we've got to go to Spain to be able to share the gospel with people. Father, it is a country in need of your love, just like our country is in need of your love. But Father, we are so blessed here. And so, Father, I ask now that you will move a revival over Spain, that people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and there'll be a great revival, many, many souls saved. Thank you for how, as a church, we can go beyond these walls and the opportunity by people giving and people praying and encouraging that we've been able to go and do that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the whole purpose of what I'm going to preach on tonight is basically I've entitled it, I Am Thankful, So I Must Tell. I must tell. I must tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to kind of stay thankful because we just survived Thanksgiving. Did you survive Thanksgiving? Do you know in America on Thanksgiving there were 51 million turkeys that were eaten on Thanksgiving? 51 million turkeys. Can you believe that? But here it has it, $2 billion, $2,875,000 were spent on Thanksgiving meal just to eat. Did y'all eat good? Did y'all eat good enough? So there were 39 million families that just traveled on Thanksgiving. And so we want to give our thanks on Thanksgiving. I know that we do that. And I even heard John say, you know, Thanksgiving is just not one day. It's every day. And we should be thankful every day. You know, we had our fill of food. We had our fill of football. Great football during Thanksgiving. We had our fill of shopping, other things to do that. But I just want to remind us tonight, and I know we know this deep down, but I want to share it because one of the things that I don't know sometimes that we realize here, unless you go to a place like Spain or a mission trip out, is how blessed we are to be here in America, to have freedom of religion the way we have, to be here in Texas, the Bible Belt, part of the Bible Belt of the United States, to be able to share the gospel the way we share the gospel, and people listen to us, and they know that that's just part of our life. But I'm here to remind us tonight that other than Thanksgiving and all the food we had and our family and the fun we had and all the football, I just think that we need to take inventory of how thankful we are to God. Just to God. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 92, 1 and 2, it said, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." Do you just thank God every day because He's just God? Because if we did not have God in our lives, can you imagine what our lives would be like? And so we just need to be thankful for that. I don't know what we would do without God. And I prayed as an individual, and I pray us as a church, that we go through this next year with the urgency to thank God and to make Him known among the nations of our world. To not make Him just known in the nations, but to make Him known in this area also. Because we do need to thank God. You know, Psalms talks about a lot about God. But we need to thank God because Psalms says that we need to thank God for His righteousness. You know, God's more than just somebody that created the world. God is a righteous God. God is a God that gives you hope. And we need to thank God for that. God is a God that when you're in trouble, He hears your cries. That's the kind of God we have. Did you thank God for that today? God is the kind of God that delivers you. Did you thank God for deliverance? God is a God of mercy. Praise God, we have mercy from God. God is a God of kindness. Aren't you glad that we don't have a mean God, a God of wrath that judges us for all the wrongs that we do? God is also a God that doesn't give up on us when we mess up. God is also a God that has given us laws in His word and commands to help us live a life of holiness. That's who God is. God is a faithful God. God is faithful to you. God is caring for you. You know, in Psalms 27, God is your strength. God is your confidence. You know, when all things seem to be going wrong, the Bible says in Psalms 27 that God is your strength and your confidence. Whatever's going to happen to you the rest of this year or next year, I just want you to understand that because we are thankful for God and because God is God who is the creator of this all world, He will give you strength and He will give you confidence no matter what you face this next year. God listens to your prayers. That's in Psalms. That's all over Psalms. Psalms 28, 66, Psalms 116. And then you look in Psalms and God gave you salvation. So of all the ones I've named, I'm going to go there. God is God of many things, and God is someone we should thank. But I'm thanking God because in Psalm 16, 9 through 11, it talks about God has given me salvation. We have a God that loves you, delivers you, gives mercy, gives blessings, gives benefits. But not only that, more than anything, God has given you salvation. Did you thank God today for the salvation of your life? Did you thank God? Psalm 16 says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave me in my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hands are pleasures forevermore." In Psalm 71, 23, it says, "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed." God is a God of salvation. Through Jesus Christ who died on the cross, I thank my God for salvation. For there was once a time in my life when I was 16 years old that I was lost. And at a youth camp in Colorado, I heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and God reached down, and my sin and dirtiness and emptiness, and when I asked Jesus in my heart, I was cleansed. What about you? Do you remember that time? Do you remember that time when God reached down and saved you? Are you thankful for that? I mean, God's all this other stuff, and that's fantastic. But God gave you, through Jesus Christ, a chance of a new life where your sins are forgiven and your heart is cleansed. And God forgives you and God cleanses you. But sometimes I forget about that. Sometimes I get caught up in the stuff of my life. Y'all ever get caught up in stuff? Or do I need to go to counseling tomorrow? Is it just me? The stuff of the life. The stuff that makes you forget about how thankful we need to be to God. How thankful we need to be for His salvation. See, there's something a lot more important than the stuff in your life. And that is, there was a time when my sin was consuming me and God saved me from that sin through Jesus Christ who died on the cross. And yet sometimes I get so caught up in everyday life that I forget for days sometimes how God has redeemed me and that God has a higher calling on my life than the stuff in my life. You know, money, bills, your job, people, you know, that kind of stuff. I pray for us and myself first and us that we do not let that stuff come before the main reason that we need to be, and that is to give praises to God and thanks to God for the salvation that He has given our lives. It's what the devil wants to do to all of us here. We don't realize how blessed we really are. And every day we must thank God for that. You know, and when we thank God for His salvation, I believe there's so many ways you can thank God because of what He's done for your life. I could name 20 of them. This would be really long, and Jimmy would be mad because the tree wouldn't go up and all this kind of stuff. But I'm going to name two of them that I really thank because God saved our souls and because we need to have just so much thankfulness in our heart because God saved our soul. Number one is, I believe that because God saved our soul and because we are indebted with thankfulness to God, that it is our passion to thirst for God. It is our passion to get to know God. You know, Psalms 22:26 says, "Those who seek Him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever." When was the last time that you thirst for God? That you had such a heart full of thankfulness? That every day you want to thirst for God to get to know God more and more and more. That's why God gave us our Bible. To read the Bible, to get to know God, to thirst for Him. And see, when we have a heart of thankfulness over God's salvation and all the other things that we need to be thankful for God, but especially for His salvation. When we realize what God really did for us and forgave our sins and gave us salvation, and we get the stuff out of our lives that's consuming us, what happens is we have a thirst for God that every day there is nothing more important than getting to know the God who gave us salvation. Is that you? Is there nothing more important in your life than getting to know the God that gave you salvation? I'm saying because God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, and when we ask Jesus in our heart and he saves us, I'm saying because of that alone, we should thank God by thirsting after him and trying to get to know God the best we can. Before anything else, I pray for myself and for the church that this next year we will not be consumed with so much stuff, but our church together will be consumed on having a thirst for God. Getting to know God because his salvation he has on our life. The second thing I want to share is this. I want to thank God because he saved me by telling others about Jesus. I want to thank God by telling people about his wondrous works. You know, Psalms 26:7 says that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all your wondrous works. That's why we exist. That's why our church exists, to proclaim the wondrous works of Jesus. That is why we are here, to go beyond these walls, to bring people into these walls to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we've heard beyond the walls from the pastor. Well, you know, beyond the walls is very, very important. 7.5 billion souls that need to hear about Jesus Christ. You know, do you know that in our church, praise God for this, but out of that budget we just voted on, almost 10% of that whole budget goes to go beyond these walls. That's a lot of money. Not to mention the $220,000 that we give just straight to the missionaries through special offerings that we give throughout the year. I praise God for that. I praise God that we are in a church that goes beyond the walls. You know, when we had this group in Spain, you know, it was just apparent that God was all over this because we had a church that was praying for us, a church that provided for us to be able to go to Spain. But I am happy that we go beyond the walls. We go to local missions. We have state missions. We have world missions. We help the homeless crossroads here in Houston. We have the radio program. We have streaming. We have Sarah's House. We have so many, the Pasadena Community Center. We have so many ministries that we help outside of these walls because we believe that because Jesus Christ has saved us and because we should be thankful for God, we've got to go beyond these walls to tell other people about Jesus Christ. That's why next year we're looking at more mission trips to El Salvador to maybe dig another well. We're looking at a trip to Boston to try to help the people in Boston. We're looking at going back to Spain or Buenos Aires. We're going to go where God sends us to go because we want to do that. But we go to exalt Jesus. We don't go to say we went on a mission trip. We go to exalt Jesus to be thankful for what God has. God wants you where you are to do something. Not everybody can go on a mission trip. But do you know when it talks about beyond the walls, you know what he's talking about? Beyond these walls. That could be in Pasadena. You know, a survey was done a couple of years ago where they surveyed 15,000 adults. This was done by the North American Mission Board, done by Lifeway. And it said that 67% of Americans say that a personal invitation from a neighbor or a family member, that they would be very effective in getting them to church. Do you realize that 67% of people that you would invite, a neighbor or a family member that you invite to church, it's very effective and getting them to come to church. You know how we go outside the walls? We start here in our own town. 67%. Let's invite someone to church. This church preaches Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. And I believe that when we invite people to come to church, and they come to church and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, I believe that God is strong enough to move in their lives in the Holy Spirit, and we will see thousands and thousands and thousands of people saved. If we would go beyond these walls, just to Pasadena, Deer Park, LaPorte, Clear Lake, and we would invite people to come here. 67%. You think about that. That's saying that out of 100 people you invite, 67 of those may come or very likely to come because you personally invited them. And yet another survey that was done in Christianity Today shows this, that it shows that these 67% of Americans would come, but it says this, 21%, only 21% of active church members ever invite someone to come to church. And out of those 21% that invite someone to come to church, only 2% of those invite someone who's unchurched. So 19% are inviting people that already go to another church, but only 2% of the active members in a church invite people that are unchurched. I'm saying today that I prayed in my heart when I heard that, God, because I can only deal with myself. God can only deal with me. But I said to myself, God, don't let me be the one that's not going to invite someone who's unchurched to church. God, instill in my heart a passion because I'm thankful for you because of my salvation that I want to invite someone to church that probably has never heard about Jesus or needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I challenge you as a church, whether it's in Spain or Buenos Aires or El Salvador, Pasadena, Deer Park, I challenge you that if we are thankful for God for our salvation, which I am going to go out and tell of his wondrous works and invite people to church. Can you imagine the revival that could happen at First Baptist Church Pasadena if we would go in Pasadena, Deer Park, LaPorte, Clear Lake, and we would invite people that have never been to church? And they come here and they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, because they will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ here. Can you imagine the number of souls that would realize that this God that I'm talking about is the God of salvation? And so I said to God, God, I'm going to commit. I'm going to commit to thank you, God, daily for my salvation. And because of that salvation, God, I'm going to try my best through the power of the Holy Spirit to thirst after you and get to know you. And God, because of your salvation on my life, and I thank you for that salvation, God, I'm going to try to tell as many people about Jesus Christ as possible beyond these walls. If I'm just one of the 2%, that's fine. I pray it's not going to be just 2% at our church. I pray it would be 100%. I pray that we have a passion to see lost people come to know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. That's what I'm thankful for. I was in Spain, sitting in the room, couldn't sleep. And I just thank God. that had the opportunity to be able to share the gospel with someone. You know, God loves you. He loves you so much, He sent Jesus to die on the cross. I really think sometimes we forget that, how powerful that is in our lives, that we get to spend eternity with Jesus. And there's a world beyond these walls. See these walls here? There's a world beyond these walls, whether it's here in Pasadena or in Spain, that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God is calling us as a church to make a difference. Not to say, hey, look what we've done, but to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. I could never do enough to thank you, God. Let's bow our heads. You know, you're here tonight, and I just, you know, I've committed in my life already before this sermon. I just pray for a commitment for you as a Christian here tonight. First of all, do you live a life of thankfulness? Do you thank God every day for your salvation? Oh, what a wonderful time that was, wasn't it? That God saved your soul. But it was a challenge, too, because there are many souls in this world that do not know Jesus Christ. And they need a church that goes beyond the walls to invite them to hear the gospel. Whether you invite them to church, whether you tell them wherever they are, whether you get on a plane and go somewhere, we do it because we love God and are thankful to God. Maybe where you are tonight, or maybe the altar was open if you need to pray, but maybe you need to make that commitment tonight, or maybe you just need to come and pray with a minister tonight to make that commitment. But boy, I would love to see this church beyond these walls, bringing people in, people getting saved, lives being changed. And when it's all said and done, we just look up to the sky and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus in your heart. I want to tell you that you have an opportunity tonight and the invitation to come forward. Let us know that you've asked Jesus in your heart. You can do that right now. Just repeat these words. Say, dear Jesus, save me from my sin. Forgive me and make me a Christian. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. So during the invitation is open for the Holy Spirit to move in your heart. To commit to God, to say, thank you, God. To commit to God, to say, God, I'm going to invite people to church. If you got saved, to come forward, take a minister by the hand, say, I've asked Jesus in my heart. The invitation is a time for you and God. Maybe you just need to say, thank you, God. But let the Spirit move during this time.